Shabbos Daf Mem Aleph. Rabbi Zera says, I saw Rabbi Abahu covering up his private parts when he was coming out of a river, but I'm unsure if he was touching himself or not. The Gemara says, obviously he wasn't touching himself, because the Braisa says that according to Rabbi Lazar, anyone who holds himself while he is urinating is as if you're bringing the mabul to the world, the flood to the world. And Abai answers, no, Rabbi Abahu, that's like the case of soldiers, that the Braisa says that when soldiers come into a city during peace times, if you have any open barrels of wine, you assume they're usher, you're not allowed to have them. But if they're closed, then they're mutter, because we assume that the soldiers use the wine for avodah zar purposes, for worshiping their idols, bringing like a wine offering to their idols. However, if it's during war times, whether or not they're opened or closed barrels, you could say that they're fine, because since the soldiers are so scared, they're not even going to be able to think or have any time for avodah zarah. So to Abai saying, in the case with Rabbi Abahu, since he was scared, then we have no concern that he might have touched himself and it would have led to improper thoughts because he was so scared. But what is this fear that Rabbi Abahu would have had? He was just bathing in the river. So the Gemara answers, he was scared of drowning in the river. However, we have another problem with the potential of Rabbi Abahu covering himself, because Rav says, if you cover your private area, it's as if you're denying the covenant of Avram, because you're covering up your bris mila. So Rabbi Abahu couldn't have covered himself up. So the Gemara answers that you're supposed to leave yourself uncovered, like Rav says, when you're going into the river, because no one can see you, you're not facing people. However, when you're coming out of the river and you are facing people, then it's okay to cover yourself up. And we see this because of a few different Rabbanim, that Rava would bend over when he was walking to and from the river so no one could see him. Rabbi Zera would stand up straight both ways because he didn't want to cover himself, like Rav says, that you don't want to deny the covenant with Avram. And in the Academy of Rav Ashi, they came up with a compromise that they would bend over when they were going in, and they would bend over when they were coming out, so nobody could see them, and they would stand up straight when they were going in, because then they didn't want to cover themselves up because no one saw them. Rav Zera avoided seeing Rabbi Yehuda because he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda said that whoever goes to Eretz Yisrael is violating a mitzvah aseh, a positive commandment, because the pasuk says that you should be in exile in Bavel, so you should stay in Babylonia, because we're supposed to be in exile now, and Rav Yehuda said that people should not be going up to Eretz Yisrael. But Rav Zera decided that he would go see Rav Yehuda one last time before he left Bavel, and he learned these three things from him. He saw them in the bathhouse, and Rav Yehuda said to his attendant, bring me neter, which is this cleaner, and he said it in Hebrew, and he also asked for a kom, except this time he said the word kom in Aramaic. He also said that you should inhale the steam, because then you're going to sweat, and if you sweat, you won't be as hot. And he said that you have to drink the bathhouse water. And Rabbi Zera said, if I only learned these things, then that would have been enough for me. He learned so much from this. So what did he learn? The first thing is that you're allowed to say secular things in Hebrew, even in a bathhouse. So Rabbi Yehuda was teaching that it's okay to say neter, the cleaner, in Hebrew, even though he was in a bathhouse. And the next thing about inhaling the steam, he was showing that we go like Shmuel, who says that heat drives out heat, meaning to inhale the steam so that the heat will come into your body and it will drive out the external heat. And the third thing about drinking the bathhouse water is like this brisa that says, if you ate and you didn't drink, then it's like you're shedding your own blood, because you'll get, this is the beginning of intestinal ailments, to eat and not drink. If you ate and didn't walk for amot, then your food will rot in your stomach and you'll have bad breath. If you have to go to the bathroom and you eat instead, then it's like heating an oven over its old ashes, which is not good, and it's going to lead to perspirational odor. If you bathed in hot water and didn't drink the hot water, which is why we're bringing in the brisa, because of this example, this case of bathing in hot water and you didn't drink the hot water, it's like heating an oven from the outside and not on the inside, which does nothing for the things inside the oven. If you bathed in hot water and you didn't rinse off after with cold water, it's like putting iron in fire and in a very hot fire and not putting in the cold water after. It's going to be very unhelpful. It's going to come out not nice. And if you bathed and didn't put on oil, it's like pouring water on the outside of a barrel, which is not going to do anything. The next Mishnah says, if you have a malarium, which is a vessel that they used for heating water, that was shoveled, then you could drink from it on Shabbos, because even though it's used for heating water, since it was shoveled, you could drink from it on Shabbos. But if you have an antiki, even if it's shoveled, you cannot drink from it. So the Gemara says, what is the malarium? The Braisa answers, it's a vessel that has water on the inside and coals on the outside. So when you shoveled out the malarium, the coals are on the out. There are no coals on the outside. And what's the antiki? Rabbah says it's a stove with a compartment for water. And Rav Nachman Yitzchak says it's a two-tiered pot. So according to the one who says that it's a two-tiered pot, you certainly wouldn't be allowed to use a compartmental, the compartmental stove, because that's going to be a lot hotter. But according to the one that says you can't, it's talking about a compartmental pot that you can't use, he would allow you to use the two-tiered pot because that is not as hot. So we have a brace that goes like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who says that it's a two-tiered pot, because this brisa says an antiki, even if it was shoveled or banked, meaning you shoveled out the coals or you poured ash over it, you can't drink from it because it's gonna, the bottom heats up, and we see from this that it's heated from the bottom, which is like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, who's talking about a two-tiered pot. The next Mishnah says a kettle that was taken off the fire. Sorry, the Mishnah says a kettle that was cleared, and the Gemara is gonna explain what that means. A kettle that was cleared, you can't put cold water into it for it to be heated up, but you can add some cold water to a kettle or a cup of hot water if you want to warm it up. You can't do it to heat it up, but you can to warm it up. The Gemara says, what does the Mishnah mean when it says a kettle that was cleared? Rav Ada bar Masna says it's talking about a kettle which was cleared of its hot water. You took out the hot water from inside it. You could put a little cold water in. You cannot put a little cold water in it because that's going to be heated up. However, you can put a lot of cold water because then it's going to be warmed up. However, the problem with this is that then if you pour a lot of cold water into a hot, empty kettle, then that's going to harden the steel, and that's not allowed on Shabbos. So the Gemara answers that the Mishnah is going like Rav Shimon, who says that if you do something which has an unintended consequence of doing a malacha, then that's allowed. So in our case, you're just putting the water in for it to be warmed up, which is allowed, and it's unintended that the steel is going to get hardened, so according to Rav Shimon, that's fine. Abaye questions this. He says, the Mishnah doesn't say a kettle that was cleared of the water. It says a kettle that was cleared, implying that something was done to the kettle. So he says that the Mishnah means that a kettle that was taken off the fire, and it still has hot water in it, not that the water was cleared, but that the kettle was cleared from the fire, you are not allowed to add a little bit of cold water because then that's going to get heated, but you can add a lot of cold water because then it's just going to get warmed. And we learned from this that you can't put any cold water into an empty kettle because that's going to harden the steel. And we go like Rabbi Yehuda, who argues with Rabbi Shimon, that says if you do an action that has an unintended consequence of a malacha, that's asur. So even though you're just putting in the water for it to be warmed up, since it has the consequence of hardening the steel, and even though that's unintended, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's asur. We bring in a related dispute that Rav says you can add a lot of cold water to a kettle that has water in it if you want to warm it, but you can't do it to harden the steel. However, Shmuel says you can even put in the water to harden the steel, and he's talking about with an empty kettle that you could put the water in to harden the steel. But what does this mean? We know you're not allowed to harden the steel on Shabbos, so what does that mean that Shmuel is saying you can harden the steel? So we answer that this is really the way the machlokes went down, the argument went down. Rav says you can add cold water to a full hot kettle as long as it's enough to warm the water, but if it's enough that it's going to harden the steel, I mean, if you're putting in so much water that it would end up hardening the steel, then you can't do it. Shmuel says you can even add so much cold water to a hot full kettle that it would harden the steel, as long as it's not your intention, then it's fine to add so much cold water that it would harden the kettle, but the steel of the kettle. But here we're saying that Shmuel is talking about a full kettle, unlike before we said that Shmuel is dealing with an empty kettle. So is this to say that Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon, that if you have an action with an unintended consequence of doing malacha, that's fine? Because here he says you can add the cold water to the kettle, even if it's going to harden the steel, because that's not your intention. However, the problem with that is Shmuel says that you can extinguish a burning coal if it's in a public domain to protect the public, but you can't extinguish a burning wood to protect people, because extinguishing wood is a deoraisa. I'll say that on a Torah level, you can't do it, but the coal is just a derabanan. It's just from the derabanan that you can't extinguish it. However, the problem with this is Rav Shimon would allow you both to extinguish the coal and the wood, because he holds in a different argument that this is a malacha. You're doing an action that's not for its defined purpose, because you're just putting out the wood so that you're avoiding an undesirable situation of having burning wood in the public. But that's not the defined purpose of the malacha, and Rav Shimon holds that's okay. So Rav Shimon and Shmuel can't be going like Rav Shimon, because he disagrees with him in this aspect. So the Gemara answers, Shmuel holds like Rav Shimon that you're allowed to do an action that might have an unintended consequence of a malacha, but he agrees with Rabbi Yehuda that you can't do a malacha even if it's for its purpose that is not, for its non-defined purpose, meaning in our case, he says you can't put out the wood. Ravina says, based on this, if there's a thorn in a public domain, you can move it out 4 amot at a time, because if you're only moving something 4 amot at a time, that's only a derabanan. And here you could do that, you could violate the derabanan to protect the public. And also you can move it in a carmelis, you can move it as many amos as you want, because in a carmelis, that itself is only a derabanan, and therefore to protect the public, you can move it as many as you want. So Ravina is basically showing that you can violate a derabanan to protect people on Shabbos Shkayach.